Hello and welcome to the Prospect Blueprint. This webcast is for prospects, coaches, and those who support those prospects so they best understand what it takes to get from one level to another, what to embrace and what to avoid to get to whatever that next level might be. I'm Kelly Kleinman, and our guest today is a gentleman who is arguably the world's most recognizable and influential sports agent of all time. Arguably, he's the personification of an industry and has inspired countless men and women to become sports agents. He is a member of the California Sports Hall of Fame and has represented such athletic luminaries as Bruce White, Troy Aikman, Steve Young, Dusty Baker, someone I think you know, Rick, Eric Kiros, my favorite Lennox Lewis, and currently a little known underskilled slouch of a quarterback by the name of Patrick Mahomes. You may have heard of him. Rick Dempsey and Kelly Kleinman fondly welcome Lee Steinberg to our show. Lee, how you doing?
Happy to be with you.
You know, we're so glad to have you because, you know, you're an icon, clearly a visionary, and you're a bit of a phoenix. You bounced back from some serious personal adversity and demonstrated that you two have a heart of a champion like those that you represent. And just really happy to have you on. I've seen you on LinkedIn a lot, and we are 1 degree of separation on LinkedIn, so that's kind of cool. And here is Rick Dempsey, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, Lee, it's a pleasure to talk to you. You know, you kind of mystify me the way that some of these agents that have risen to the top as of now in Major League Baseball, you know, the way that they have handled themselves is something I probably could have never done. You've got to have some kind of magic in your voice or something, the way you talk to general managers and people like that. But you've been hugely successful. So it's kind of nice. It'll be kind of nice to find out how you put your team together, you know, and how did you manage to get so many great, notable players in the game of baseball?
So I think that I started with Herny Lansford way back in the 70s. And had a series of players. And then later I was joined by my partner, Jeff Morad. And we had about 90 football players and about 60 baseball players. We had clients like Sean Green and Pudge Rodriguez and Will Clark and Matt Williams and C.C. Sabathia. Anyway, when I started, it was just me, and I was my own secretary. I answered the phone. I went to Kinko's Copies, when you called me on the phone and I was on it, it ran busy. Something your younger listeners won't remember. Gradually I built it, and with Jeff Morad, his ultimate aspiration was to own the team, so he became CEO, minority partner of the Diamondbacks, and then owned the San Diego Padres. But currently our sports, I have a young CEO, and here's the thing. If you don't learn how to create other superstars around you because you convince yourself that you could do everything better than someone else and it would take too much time to train them, the consequences of that is you will do everything yourself. So I tried to bring up a whole series of young agents and who were stars in their own right, and the public would accept them as a substitute for me.
Well, you know, Lee, things have changed so much in Major League Baseball as of late. And the numbers are phenomenal. I mean, how can you imagine that players in today's game can get the kind of contracts that you're getting for them for anywhere up to $45 million a year? It just seems astronomical, but there's got to be a trick on your part, the way that you handle these people.
Well, the trick is, first of all, if you have good listening skills, and you can draw out another person so that you understand, and you can put your head in their head and your heart in their heart and figure out what a general manager needs out of the transaction to be successful. What does the team need? What does the owner need to be successful? And try to craft win-win negotiation and make sure that these happen as quietly as possible, because when you put proud people up against the wall, then you can get a deadlock and a breakdown. We don't have time in a short player career to have that happen. But where the salaries are coming from is television. And in the sport of baseball, it can be more local TV. But the point is, you remember there were years when owners used to complain they were losing money. And you haven't heard that in years because
that's true.
because in 1994, the sport had a strike, and it was so destructive that gross receipts went down 40% the next year. And baseball learned after that not to cut off its product and to not to rub and force feed fans the concept of endless collective bargaining hassles or endless hassles in negotiating. And there was tremendous focus on revenue. So you got brand new single-use stadiums with luxury boxes and naming rights and fantasy sports but massive amounts of television money, national television, but especially the 162 games and spring training local contract.
Yeah. You know, you've got your sports and your entertainment. And I know that I had heard there's a big event now coming up. They're going to honor you for your philanthropic work. What is that going to be about?
So I have a requirement in our practice. We ask the athletes to go back to the high school community that helped shape them, set up a scholarship fund, work with a church or Boys and Girls Club. To the extent that they went to college, endow a scholarship there or retrofit some of the athletic equipment. And then at the pro level, set up a charitable foundation to execute some cause that they would like to tackle. In football, the running back Warwick Dunn just put the 200th single mother and her family into the first home they'll ever own by making the down payment. Mm-hmm. And players like Eric Karros had their own charitable foundation. So that has been the key. I've tried to visualize how we can use sports to make a positive difference in the world.
Yeah,
so I represented a heavyweight boxer, Lennox Lewis, and he put together a public service announcement where he said, real men don't hit women. So athletes can model this behavior in a way that has a profound impact. And so I've tried the best I could to tackle problems with my own charitable foundations. So it's a philanthropic award.
Congrats. You don't hear of too many people that have done what you've done, but then they've chosen to get into amateur sport, which really gives the kids an opportunity to make some money before they even become professionals. And one thing that I know that my partner here has been talking a lot about is the NIL and how much that's doing for college sports right now. What's your take on that?
Well, it's been a revolution in the last year. It started last July, and some people thought it would just be a few football quarterbacks, but it's been much broader than that. It's been Phil Knight giving every athlete at the University of Oregon a stipend. It's been Jack in the Box giving deals to 15 athletes with the first name Jack. It's been latest is collectives have formed on college campuses and pooled their businesses, and they're now using money in the recruiting process. Come to Alabama and you can make X amount of money. So the age has gotten younger and younger, where you might not talk to a baseball player, well, first when they come out of high school, but then later to college, or in football 3 years. Now, all of a sudden, you better spot that high school player and do a NIL with him, because if you don't do it as a marketing agent and someone else does, you may never get a chance to talk to that player about later representation.
Yeah.
So, Lee, have you had to expand your organization, your group of people, because of all of this now? Do you have a whole new department set up for the NIL and that? Because you just don't hear. Why would anybody in your place want to do such a thing? Because you've already made a great deal of money. It's really nice to hear that this is a way of giving back in a lot of ways, creating opportunities for these players now to make a little money, even if they don't get in the pros.
Absolutely. And you're finding that certain colleges and certain organizations have enough prominence and a huge fan base so that it won't just be the top athlete. It might be the 15th player at the University of Alabama. There's certain powerhouse high schools, a place in Southern California like Mater Dei High School.
Yeah.
Has its own brand, and they've got their own alums. So it really has completely reshape the whole landscape.
Yeah. It does seem like we're at the dawn of the NIL, a period where agents will actually be negotiating college deals for kids as freshmen in high school. You mentioned juniors and seniors for sure. Are we going to be coming to that where corporations and agents are actually negotiating deals for young players? And I'll say this, you mentioned Alabama and these consortiums that are being put together by some of these larger universities. There's a Big Ten university that I'm particularly fond of that just had a big NIL banquet, a fundraiser, and it was 1,000 a seat, 10,000 a table. And let's just say there was no shortage of people at it. It was absolutely massive, and it was for football and basketball, but the baseball one's right around the corner. Talk to me about that. How ridiculous can this possibly get?
As ridiculous as you could imagine, because hardcore alums at schools, it's been a few years, but if you go back to the heyday, say, of the SC baseball machine or Cal State Fullerton or any of those schools that do that, they have followings. And those followers, many of them are alums, and the alums own businesses. And so the alum can funnel money through his own business to an athlete, or they can raise a huge pot and then distribute it to random athletes. So the reality is it's a sports-crazy country, and the NCAA could have forestalled this and put into place a system that would be much more modest in terms of the dollars that players can make, but they just kept insisting on really archaic rules. And eventually California passed SB 206 several years ago, which said California athletes would be allowed to do name, image, and likeness. And every other state then responded because they didn't want to be left out. And eventually the NCAA lost control.
Yeah. It seems like there's a different variety of potential NIL sponsors. You've got your alums, then you might have your corporations. And I'm almost wondering, who actually ends up calling the shots? Is it going to be the coach? Is it going to be the person who's in charge of the booster NIL association corporations? Who's going to be in charge of those college programs? Who's going to dictate who they recruit? And would they, this is just hypothetical fun stuff, would they consider a kid who has 250,000 TikTok users over a kid who has a 4-point GPA when the metrics are the same?
So the currency, as you referenced, in marketing today is how many followers does someone have and what their brand look like on social media. So you walk in to do a deal and they ask, how many followers on TikTok, how many followers on Instagram, how many followers on Facebook, every other platform. So part of doing the NIL is to raise the profile and to create content. And then if there are enough followers, that content itself can be monetized. And so the answer to your question is that that recognition factor and those followers could heavily influence some decisions.
Interesting. Really interesting. Next question kind of moves, well, we'll stay with the NIL. You mentioned TV money and the way money is being liberally scattered about. It's going to permeate all those major sports. Will the Power Five eventually become a professional league driven by TV money and NIL money with an academic component? And essentially, could this be the end of pro sports as we know it?
Well, it could be the end of the NCAA as we know it, because the truth of the matter is those conferences can negotiate their own television contracts. They can set their own rules, and they don't really need the NCAA taking its bite out of the apple. And the truth of the matter is that certain schools have so many alums, they have such fervent following, that we already have a two-tiered system. Very difficult to keep up if you're in college football with Ohio State and Alabama and USC. So, yes, I see a day where the Power Five conferences, in essence, leave the rest of the pack behind, do their own television contracts, set their own rules up in recruiting, set their own standards up, and do it between the universities.
Interesting. Interesting. Wow.
That's just incredible. I never would have known that there could be the magnitude of sports amateur now can get so big. But anyway, well, Lee, I'm curious, you know, what are the qualities that you look for? You've had so many great athletes and huge names. Patrick Mahomes is probably the latest, but I mean, what do you look for? Is there anything specific, or do you just run into, okay, well, he's going to be the quarterback, I'm going to rep him? There's got to be something that really catches your eye.
So the first thing is I want an athlete to understand their responsibility to be a role model and how they can make an impact off the field. So if they're willing to do the program I talked about, retrace their roots and try to use their profile for good, that's the first qualification. Then you look for a work ethic that's pristine, someone who will absolutely be a self-starter and put the time in away from games that's necessary to make it. You look for intelligence, you look for maturity, but here's the thing. Most athletic contests now, a third of them are blowouts, but most of them come down to the final inning, the final quarter, the last drive, the bottom of the ninth. And so the question is, in adversity, the batter struck out four times. The pitcher's gotten blown out. But now here comes a critical moment. Does that athlete have the ability to compartmentalize, tune out extraneous noise, forget about the past lack of success, and elevate their play in critical situations to take a team to and through victory?
You just read a chapter out of Mahomes' book, because I watched that kid do exactly what you're just talking about. Terrible start, last year. And then the way he put it all together when the team needed him the most was massively incredible. And that's the kind of player that you have. I got to take my hat off to you.
That's the player that you look for. it's impactful in all sports. In other words, who's going to take the last shot in basketball? Who's going to Patrick Mahomes has 13 seconds to get the ball down the field.
There's my Browns. He's their new Elway.
What do you do? Because life and sports will push you back, right?
Yeah.
There'll be constant failures, constant reverses. Now, what do you do when it's adversity time? Can you rise again like the phoenix to and produce?
Yeah, that's exactly how I look at it. Let's jump back real quick to the high school thing because I'm so intrigued by this, and I'm almost wondering if some agents wouldn't have bird dogs in high school, you know, whereby kids just either fresh out of high school or still in it might be retained by firms to bird dog for players. And I mentioned that because out by us, we had, you know, Thibodeau, he went to Oaks Christian over here. Ethan Calvert's a kid who went to Oaks Christian. He's a big linebacker. He's going to probably play a lot this year. Christian Yelich, you know, played for Westlake High School, where my kids go, went. And then, of course, you got Pittman, great, you know, wideout. How far are we from that? I mean, is it important, do you think, for an organization to own its own backyard if it means digging into the high schools? Well, that's where we're going to go because that's the era that we're in.
So I've always believed in regionality in terms of our approach. In other words, you have universities like SC and UCLA. You have power programs like Oaks Christian and Modern Day and St. John Bosco. I mean, you have these. The first step in this evolution was when they started to have high schools recruit, right? Because before that, when I think we all were growing up, you went to school where you lived, okay? And so now you've got these powerhouses, high school recruiting. So you absolutely want to stay focused on these high schoolers, because in baseball, they're going to get drafted out of high school. In football, they're going to go on to college and immediately have high profile. You know, in basketball, a little less because it's one and done for the best players. But the action has moved younger and younger and younger. And that's difficult for someone like me who's used to dealing with mature players. But how this happens is generally someone in an athlete's life will be designated the agent screener. And it could be the mother, it could be the father, it could be a panel on a high school or a college. But the point is, you're not actually talking to the athlete first. You're talking to the parents who are stepping in to screen this process off so their son is not overwhelmed by 1,000 agents and 1,000 financial planners and 1,000 trainers, all of whom want to work with them. So they set up a system where they do interviews, and that's how it actually happens. So I wouldn't be sending someone to a high school campus to hang out with players. I'd be looking for their parents and how they are protecting them.
Yeah.
Lee, I want to work for you, Lee. Oh, man. Ricky, we got a lot of great players out here in Southern California. I live close to Oaks Christian, and I'm just amazed at how many professional players bring their children to these high schools in my area, and how many really good athletes we have. And it's really hard. You know, I'm not an agent, but I can tell a pretty talented guy. I was a good reader of pitchers and catchers and hitters and stuff. So, but a lot of these players look like we're going to have a great crop of young people coming in within the next couple of years.
Well, go ahead, Lee. It's your show.
That whole area, that expanded out there with Westlake Village and Thousand Oaks and was just the boonies. And now all of a sudden it's got heavy development, heavy businesses, heavy, and has become a real center for the development, especially of young baseball and football players.
Very, very true. But everyone doesn't make it into the pros. I still got a couple of kids who are still, you know, scratching at that dream, and you know, we'll see where that goes. But there's a lot of kids who are also interested in being agents. What advice would you give a youngster who wants to get into representation? What majors and educational opportunities should they invest their time in?
So, to be a certified agent in baseball, someone has to have a college education. To be a certified agent in football, they have to have an undergrad degree and some form of a postgrad degree. It could be a master's in something. I think the most important skill is psychology. It's psychology, it's listening, it's understanding people, it's understanding why they act the way that they do. And because everything at the end of the day, whether it's recruiting new clients, whether it's negotiating for them, whether it's doing endorsements, is all people dealing with other people. So your ability to read a situation, your ability to get in the heart and mind of a young, I've got to be able to cut below the layer of the surface with the young athlete, from surface responses to get deeper and deeper into what their values and priorities are. So I understand their deepest anxieties and fears and their greatest hopes and dreams. I really understand them deeply. So it's a set of skills like that. You don't necessarily need the person that can give you the stats for the 1932 World Series. You need someone who can add value to an athlete's life. So it's understanding how to develop an approach to the draft, whatever sport it's in, and how to get a player to showcase himself the best, and then mentoring that player as they get into sports, and then preparing them for second career. So that you ask them very early. So those are all things. Now, we do agent academies, which are on the website steinbergspeech.com. And we actually teach young agents, some of them as young as high schoolers, how to negotiate, where they have to get up and talk to an athlete and his family, how to negotiate contracts where half of them play general managers and half of them play player agent. So they could look that up. I've written a couple books. The agent might be good for someone to look at, my 40-year career in making deals and changing the game. But you need to be certified. And then the skill to know how to separate yourself from the mass, how to distinguish yourself in a way. And so the agent needs to brand himself with social media and the rest of it, or write an article or something, or develop a niche. But and to get an internship with an agency and to get inside the organization.
Yeah. Rick, any parting words before we bid adieu to the Gathered with the Legend?
It has to be our best interview ever so far. Yeah. And I thought college coaches were magnificent because they have so much passion for baseball. But I'll tell you, you've got passion for what you do at your end. And it comes across. And it's been such a pleasure just listening to you. So interesting. I never thought, never knew a lot of the stuff that the requirements were to be an agent. So I thought you just found yourself a player that liked you and you presented him to a team. But
actually, Rick, you have to. Every state has a state regulatory commission.
Right.
So you have to be in compliance with whatever state the athlete lives in. So that's one level of regulation. The second is by the players' associations for every team sport. So
right.
they regulate agents. And the third is there are certain universities that have compliance programs where you have to register with them. So what used to be the Wild Wild West is now a heavily regulated profession.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, thank you so much for coming on with us, Lee. It's been quite a pleasure to meet you. I wish that I had had you coming out of high school. I would own Oak High School.
You're doing pretty good, Rick. Come on.
I'm all right.
Yeah, but yeah, really appreciate it, Lee. Thanks for coming on. Great luck, you know, moving forward. We really appreciate you sharing the insight and all that experience with us. And I think Rick and I, we'll be looking forward to getting those Super Bowl party tickets. You know how to reach me now. You could have your
we're in, Alex. This year we took over Sony Studios.
I saw that.
And next year we're actually taking over the Diamondback Minor League Baseball facility.
Yeah.
We're going to hold the party.
Outstanding. Well, it'll be enjoyable to watch the Browns finally get into a Super Bowl, but that's another conversation for another time. Again, thanks so much, Lee. We'll be in touch.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
To you.